Fish on Friday. To thousands of our fellow Americans, we Catholics are known merely as the people who eat fish on Friday. It amuses us, up to a point, to be thought of in this way, as some queer sort of Sixth-day Adventists, waiting with outstretched frying pans for the weekly arrival of the fishmonger, or rushing periodically to market and calling for halibut or clamoring for clams in order to fulfill a strange religious superstition. It is a pity so little is known about us. We now number 20 millions in this country, and sooner or later we are bound to be reckoned with as the Christian body in terms of something more substantial than our Friday fare. For it never fails to happen that people who know only a little about us get that little wrong. As a matter of fact, we do not eat fish on Friday. That is to say, not unless we like fish and want to eat it out of our own accord. I am one of those many moderately good Catholics in whom the persuasive power of canon law has not developed a taste for fish, either on Friday or any other day, and stands no chance of doing so. It is true I do not eat meat on Friday, but the distinction between abstaining from meat and partaking of fish is not too difficult to comprehend, and ought to offer food for thought. Oddly enough, the learned explanations of why we eat fish on Friday are more stupid than the stupid ones. The ordinary friendly Protestant who sits beside us in restaurants and notices our hebdomadal horror of meat puts us down as just a little bit queer on that point, somewhat in the manner of the Orthodox Jews, who are a little bit queer on the subject of ham all year round. We like this simple explanation of our Friday observance best of all those which do not explain it. A misunderstanding is never unpleasant, provided it is straightforward and uninvolved. What drives us to desperation is a treatise on the subject of Catholics and Friday fish by a savant, a theological psychologist, or a student of comparative religion. We are amazed to learn from Professor Puvels that the practice of eating fish was introduced into the Christian ritual because the apostles were fishermen. We're to be informed by more erudite authorities that, whereas pictures of little fishes were enscrolled on the walls of the catacombs, the early Christians became gradually devoted to fish worship, which aroused in them intermittently a religious symptom known as anecthophagus esophagus. What annoys us in the theories of these polysyllabalists is not what they say, but what they imply. They imply, of course, that the Christian tradition is merely a superior form of myth, and if archaeologists and other diggers had time to go into the matter, it could probably be shown that the Roman pontiff is a development of the god Neptune, and that the holy virgins of the litanies were originally a school of mermaids. The true explanation of the ichthus, inscribed as a devotional rebus in the catacombs, has no more to do with our practice of eating fish than the presence of an embroidered pelican on the back of a benediction vestment has to do with our failure to eat pelicans, whether embroidered or otherwise. If our religious development followed the psychological rules which professors of religion imagine, we would most certainly be consuming lambs and devouring doves on Friday, instead of avoiding them in favor of fish, because, of all the animal symbols employed by Christians in their sacred liturgy, unquestionably the commonest and most pronounced have been the lamb and the dove. In my younger days, when our adversaries were the good old and thoroughly honorable Protestant evangelicals, who had sense enough to see that what we were doing on Friday was not eating fish, but abstaining from meat, there was often quoted against us the text from St. Matthew, quote, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man," unquote. And I remember the great flurry which occurred in the question box departments of Catholic magazines in trying to answer this difficulty. What a pity the Catholic apologet of those days had not tact enough to be less apologetic. Instead of trying to belabor the exegesis of a scriptural text to nobody's satisfaction, not even our own, he could have pointed out the enormous compliment we were paying to meat by considering its absence from our table to be a hardship. One does not offer God, by way of penance, what one thinks is bad, but what one thinks is good. And nobody really understands how good meat is until he tries going without it one day a week. And why has it not been noticed that whenever a big feast of the church, let us say Christmas, falls on Friday, we become joyously carnivorous out of schedule, openly abandon our loyalty to fish, and transfer it to roast turkey? Indeed, the truth of the matter is, If we dare tell non-Catholics the number of reasons which will legitimately permit us to eat meat on Friday, they would be scandalized. And I have always considered this a most amusing situation, namely, the constant danger we are in of giving scandal to those outside our faith, should we neglect to do what they would think it absurd for us to do, even if we did it. There is, in view of these considerations, a resolution we ought to make, and it is this: not to waste our time and the time of unbelievers in discussing our religion with them any longer in terms of its non-essentials. There is no use trying to explain Friday fish, devotional prayers, incense, holy water, candles, relics, medals, and such incidentals to anyone who has not studied the Catholic faith from the ground up. We only beget confusion of mind in those who question us, and arouse inordinately our own risibilities. I remember once being asked by a very ponderous